morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomas, and it's good to see everyone here in this nice, chilly morning here. We could tell everyone was a little bit late this morning because they had to wait for their cars to get warmed up. I told the guys in the band we'd go for coffee down Dunkin' Donuts if nobody showed up here pretty soon. Well, welcome to February. We're here, and it's Women's Ministries Month. So we'll see an expanded use of the women in our service. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. Today is also communion. So there are two trays here. So if you're on that side, come up here and grab that one and go around. If you're on this side, come up this side and grab that one. That way we can have move. If you all stand in the middle and start trying to go over, we don't have flow and it doesn't make sense. So we'll grab it, we'll take it back, and we'll share in it together. Important thing, parking out front. Try to leave the front open so that somebody pulling up and dropping someone off can do that without even back way up there or pull way down here and make them walk all the way up. If we could leave that open, that would be really, really good. There will be a diaconate meeting following church today. That will be in the library. And next week, there will be a board meeting. So if you're new to a board as a chair, next week there will be a board meeting and you will be needed to come to that. Mothers and daughters. Christy's not here. Someone about women's mothers and daughters?
We're in favor of.
Oh, you are. You are? Okay, unanimous? Okay. Yeah, well, that's coming up on the 25th. That's coming up on the 25th and 27th, so just look at your paperwork. And hopefully the soup's all made.
All made.
Oh, you look tired.
I am super tired, but I have a lot of good help.
Well, that's good. That's good. So that's all. That's for next week. And
yeah, you can pick it up after church.
Where do they pick it up? Downstairs? Okay. Valentine's Women Ministries. Someone want to talk about the Valentine's? Oh, there you go. We're still doing cardamom bread on the 12th, right?
March.
March 12th. Say, we're making cardamom bread. We're going to be eating cardamom bread, too. Is there anything else that anyone else would like to share this morning? Joys or concerns? Or?
I am the bread.
And I will raise you up and
join me in the call to worship, please? Jesus is the bread of life. All who eat this bread will never die.
He is God's love revealed. He is broken that we might be healed.
All who eat of his heavenly bread, all who drink his cup of the covenant,
will live forever, for he will raise them up.
No one who comes to Jesus shall ever hunger again. No one who believes shall ever thirst.
All that the Father offers shall come to him, and he will give them rest.
Please join us in hymn number 12.
Pray with me. Lord, we come before you to worship your name. Heavenly Father, you who have given your Son to us, what glory there is in the work he has done and will do in each and every one of your creatures. Oh, we thank you so much that we do come together and we do worship in a congregation. You see us as one. You saw your people, millions, as one. If we can only have so hard to grasp what you see us as. But we are that body. The different pieces that fit together so well to do what you have called your people to do, to worship you, to love you, and to proclaim your glory in all this earth. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Proverbs. Thank you. Proverbs 16:5. The Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs 24:27. Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Our next reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, found on page 952 in the Pew Bible. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father that at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our next reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 52 through 59, found on page 868 in your Bible. The Jews then disputed among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Good service, celebration, and conclusion, all in one. Although many of us are at different points about what has happened, what is happening now, and what we need or what we want in the future, we are working through it. We are working through what is called the healing period. I not only feel and see our church healing, but I also see it being restored. I thought our annual meeting was a great meeting, not because I was chosen as your pastor until our new senior pastor gets here, but because this meeting showed a calmness, a straightforward, united family, discussing, sharing, and deciding together. One of the reasons for our sermon series that I called Restore was to give us a sense of direction in moving us to a point where we are united in the desire to move forward, turning our thoughts away from the past or anything that could hold us back from becoming the church that God wants and we all want this church to be. This week's sermon will be on trust. Next week, we will conclude the series with a sermon called Choosing Well. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. For my February contact article, I wrote that Psalm 80 takes the form of a community lament, a humble plea. It's an anchoring thought or a line, a place to draw the line in the sand and say, today is a new day. A new day for me, a new day for our church, as we step forward into the future. Today we stop looking back. Today we focus on our future. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. Today restoration begins in our hearts as individuals. And what does that mean? It means if you want Sunday school, you want our youth groups, you want our Bible studies, you want our church, even our nation to be better, it starts with you. Then your influence can spread to others. You might be asking, what did I do? It's not that there is anything anyone has done individually, but before our church can start taking its next steps toward the future, it is important that we individually cleanse and renew our hearts before God so that He can fill and renew our hearts and our church together. Think of this when we soon gather together in communion. Are we really trusting our todays and our tomorrows to God? Trusting that He will guide us through each and every step that we take forward. Trusting in letting His word lead our pastoral search. Trusting in God. Trust. T. Truth of God's word. R, reliance in God. U, unwavering faith. S, surrendered life and will. T, tenacity. No matter what happens, I will trust. On May 17th, 2008, Christian recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman and his family suffered a devastating loss. Their 5-year-old adopted daughter, Maria, was struck and killed when Chapman's 17-year-old son was backing the SUV out of the driveway. After much prayer and counsel, Chapman returned to touring in promotion of his newest album. Blessed Be Your Name was also the first song that Chapman sang the day of Maria's death, when he wasn't sure that he was ever going to be able to sing again. Inspired by the story of Job, at one point the lyrics repeat, "He gives and he takes away. He gives and he takes away." And as I sang that song, it wasn't a song. It was a cry. It was a scream. It was a prayer. Chapman explained to the audience of nearly 5,000, "I found an amazing comfort and peace that surpassed all understanding." Chapman also shared that after Mariah's death, he reconsidered the words to all of his songs and whether he could still sing them and believe in the words that he wrote. Instead, losing the little girl brought the meaning of some of his songs into a sharper focus. One example was "Yours," which addresses how everything in the world belongs to God. In this song in particular, I had come to a realization, he said, "There's not an inch of creation that God doesn't look at and say, all of that is mine." There's an old joke about human arrogance. One day a group of scientists got together and decided that humanity had come a long way and that it no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell him that. Tell him that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and he said, "God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're at a point where we can clone people, manipulate atoms, build molecules, fly through the space, and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go away and mind your own business?" God listened very patiently and kindly to the wise man. And he said, "Very well, but how about this? Before I go, why don't we have a human-making contest?" To which the scientist replied, "Sure, no problem, I'll do that." But God said, "Well, we have to go back and do it the way I did it with Adam." Said, "Sure, no problem." So the scientist bent down to pick up a handful of dirt, and God wiggled his finger at him and said, "Uh-uh, put that down. You go find your own dirt. Dirt is mine." God, we all belong to you, dirt and all. Someone said there are two reasons why we don't trust people. One, we don't know them, and the other is that we do know them. I'm sure we all have an instance where we have trusted people, they have come through, they have helped it, guided us, and been a great part of our lives. And there's other times when we have trusted people, and it has not turned out well. They have hurt us. So trust is a tough word sometimes. T, truth. Trust operates and it thrives in an atmosphere of truth, while distrust operates in an atmosphere of untruthfulness or lies. Psalm 15. "Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promise even when it hurts." Psalm 15. R, reliance. Reliance upon God and his goodness, grace, provisions, and promise. Psalm 71, 5 through 6. "O Lord, you alone are my hope. I trusted in you, O Lord, from childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. No wonder I am always praising you." You, unwavering faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and thus to trust him to do what he said that he would do. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Hebrews 11, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." S, surrendered will, life and will. Surrender means giving up your life, giving up your rights for that will, that plan, that purpose. When I trust God for his plan, which is good and perfect for me, I can rest assured that he will guide and take care of me, since I belong to him and that God does take care of his children. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. T, tenacity. A bulldog attitude is required in our Christian walk. An attitude of, I will not give up. I will trust God to come through in my salvation. Psalm 32, 10. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. We learn four important lessons about trust. Trust is a heart issue. There is no possible way for us to trust God and not allow him to have our heart. God must have our heart to truly have our trust. Why is the heart so important? What makes the heart so critical in our trust issues? When we see here that trust is a matter of the heart, we tend to be drawn towards the emotional end of things. In Proverbs, when Solomon is talking about the heart, he refers to it as the core of the human life. The heart is the center of everything. The heart was the essence of all that we are as human beings. When Solomon says to trust God with all your heart, he is saying trust God with all of your life, all of your possessions, all of your being, and all that you will become. If we are honest, many times our trust falls short with this standard. When Solomon speaks about trust, he's talking about the whole deal. That means exactly that. All, not some, not parts, not a little, but everything. The truth is that either we trust God with all or not at all. Two, trust moves beyond our understanding. One of the great truths about life is there are times when we just don't when life just doesn't make sense. We've all experienced times in life when what is happening defies logic, and it leaves us with a complete lack of understanding. Life can absolutely be beyond our ability to comprehend at times and beyond our ability to control. Trust means that you lean on God in all times, in all situations, and in every way possible. Life is never fair, never totally free of pain, and never beyond difficulties. Some powerful examples of senseless situations. Do you think Abraham understood why he was promised numberless descendants when he had no son? Do you think Joseph understood why he was sold into slavery by his brothers? Do you think Daniel understood why he had to spend the night in the lion's den? And do you think Paul understood why he was stoned, beaten, and shipwrecked? Life doesn't make sense, but God can make sense out of life. Truth is not about logic. It is a matter of faith. We may go through hard times. We may have days filled with heartache and pain. And we may have days when life is just beyond our control. Life is never beyond God's control. When we lean on our own understanding, we gain only what we can do for ourselves. When we lean on God, we gain his limitless resources. Three, trust must acknowledge God's presence. There have been more than a few days when I have clung to the promise that God will never leave or forsake us. God made the promise that he would always be with us. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. If God never leaves us, we can trust him in every situation and in every trial. God always comes through in every problem, even when we barely are able to get by. The power and presence of God gets us through the tough times in life. And one of my favorite verses of Scripture is in Isaiah 43:2. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you. Four, trust follows the path that God laid out. There's a saying that seems to capture the American spirit. Do not follow the path that may lead, but go where there is no path and blaze your own trail. God does not want nor need you to blaze your own trail. He's the original trailblazer. He lays out the path for our life. God's desire for you is to find his trail and to follow it with all of your being, all of the days that you draw breath. We do not make our own path, but we follow the one that God lays out for our lives. God is the one who sets our path for life, and either we follow it or we don't. Life is just that simple. Our problem is that we get too busy trying to blaze our own trails, that we get off course. And we leave God totally out of the picture. I would rather walk the path of pain and suffering with God than to walk the path of pleasure and success without him. One of the best things about following God is that he never messes up the directions. He never sends us the wrong way, and even though it may feel like it plenty of times, who or what is leading your life today? In the book Just Like Jesus, Max Lucado wrote these words: God loves you just the way you are. If you think his love for you would be stronger if your faith were stronger, you're wrong. If you think his love would be deeper if your thoughts were, you're wrong. Don't confuse God's love with the love of people. The love of people often increases and decreases with mistakes. Not so with God's love. God loves you the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. God's love never ceases, never. Though we spurn him, we ignore him, we reject him, we despise him, we disobey him, he will not change. Our evil cannot diminish his love. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith does not earn us any more opportunities. It doesn't help us out at all, any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God doesn't love us less if we fail or more if we succeed. God's love never ceases. God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. A 6-year-old boy in a restaurant asked if he could say grace. As the family bowed their heads, he said, God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food. And I would even thank you more if mommy gets us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. Along with the laughter from the other customers, there was a woman nearby, and she remarked, well, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Well, I've never. Hearing this, the little boy, he burst into tears. And he go, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? And as his mother held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job and that God was most certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. And he winked at the boy and he said, I happen to know that God thought that was a wonderful prayer. Really? The little boy looked up and he said, cross my heart. And then in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating the woman whose remarks had started the whole thing, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Naturally, the little boy, he had ice cream with his meal. And when it arrived, he stared at it for a moment and he did something rather startling. He picked up the sundae and without a word to anyone walked over and he placed it in front of the woman. And with a big smile he told her, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. My soul is good already. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, yes, ice cream is good for the soul, and so is the heart of little children. Melt our hearts as we now come to this special time of receiving your supper. We are thankful that we are able to gather together with all the believers here today, and we are grateful for the sense of community that you give to us. At the same time, we want to follow what the Scripture teaches us. We want our hearts to be right with you. So we pray that we will make the right, we will make things right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we will let go of any grudges or bitterness that we might hold against another individual. And we pray, Father, for forgiveness, forgiveness of sin.
Oh, we come and we celebrate today. The table is set before us. Remember, participation in this meal is for all who confess Christ, their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who would be delivered from them, and all who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive this holy sacrament.
Friends, this is a joyful feast of the people of God. Many will come from east and west and north and south and to sit at the table of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
As we begin our prayer of confession, just remember, as we come to a close, just take that moment to confess for yourself individually and repent from your sins. And then we will close out. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may truly love you and worthily praise you, your holy name, through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand now for our affirmation of faith. Well, you paused.
I did. They were supposed to stay up. It's okay. Let me just close us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Let us now confess affirmation of faith. It's found in the blue hymnal, number 878. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of church and church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they were delivered by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the loaf of bread, blessed it, and broke it. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup, blessed this, and said, this cup is the new cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered in glory everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
The table is set. Come. Bread of Christ, body broken for you and for me. Take and eat.
The blood of Christ, our Savior, shed for you. Take and drink.
Pray with me, please. Loving God, you graciously feed us who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received the sacraments be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom one day. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son and Lord, and by the living, life-giving power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we pray and as we lift up this congregation, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you much praise for good news from medical procedures, that things go well for some, and Gary and Megan specifically. But we have others, Lord, we're lifting up now, some of which we just saw this last week. Mike Bergmo is dealing with a pinched nerve. Arthur Hanley has a blown disc. And Tom Stange had a burst vessel in his nose. So all of these people, Lord, we lift up to you, for we know that you are walking with each of us individually. You are walking with these, your people. Help to comfort them, keep them settled in your peace, Lord, knowing that you are indeed close by them. We give you thanks for all that we do endure, Lord, that there are lessons within these things, these storms that come into our lives, that you indeed will walk those out for us as we walk hand in hand with you. All the things that are going on, the call for a new pastor, all just so many different things among his people. We give you thanks and praise that you indeed are walking among us. You don't miss anyone, ever. Help us to know that, to trust that, to rely on that, and to call it out from time to time when we may slip and forget just whose we are. So we thank you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for the table you set before us and for the completeness of the food you have given us in your body and in your blood. The gift was for us to have this life in you. May it be so. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Where are we? Oh, the affirmation. Okay, I'll just stop right here. Let us rise. We are going to recite our affirmation of faith that we affirmed way back when we were completing our vitality program. So let us read in unison. Our relational covenant of our life together. Let our interactions and others be based on Colossians 3:11 through 17. Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love. We promise to love, to listen to each other with empathy, patience, and respect. Offer to help and support one another. Value each other with God's love. Encourage each other to grow in faith, love, wisdom. And we prayerfully seek the Holy Spirit in all situations. Amen. Let us sing hymn 286.
Holy Spirit,
is our giving time. I see so much in what you do for us and how much you have given to us, that every time we bring a blessing to you, you bless us back so profoundly. Sometimes we can't even write all that you've done for us. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, that we have the ability to steward and to do it well. You call your people to give into your kingdom. So, Lord, as we proceed with this time, we just give you thanks and praise that we are able. In his most holy name, amen.
Around us before we leave today, and please join us downstairs for something afterward. Let us all go into the week knowing that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord, it endures forever. Go in now in his peace. Amen.
Amen.